Isn't it wonderful that we have so much talent in this church? It's great. I love the singing. I love this church. You know, we have many things to be thankful for. Who we are in Christ, number two, is my sermon today. And next time I'm here at the end of the month, will be number three. Many people have this idea that I'm in Christ because I live a good life. I do all these wonderful things. But yet they don't have really Jesus in their hearts to really show that they have Christ in their lives. They may think it because they don't drink, they don't smoke, they live a good life, but they lack one thing. And we're going to find out in the Bible here as to what really entails being in Christ and who we are in Christ. This actually was a title that I had, was Who I Am in Christ, but I'm going to include this as Who We Are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we read that already, but let's go through it again. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. In the New King James Version, it says, we are his heritage. We are his heritage. We are sons of God. And we have in our church no hierarchy. No one is above anyone else. An elder is an elder. A pastor is a pastor. And a deacon is a deacon. But that's it. We do not have any hierarchy in our church. We all are brothers in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we live for each other so that we can give each other comfort and strength when needed. And through prayer, we pray for all the people in our churches. And we are also an example to the people out there. If they see Jesus in us, it's because we are living the Christ-like life. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We kind of covered that already, but I want you to be aware that we are disciples of Christ. And we are to do his work here on this earth. And another thing too, we are the temple of God. If we are living a Christian life, we are a temple of God. Many people say, well, I am a Christian again, but they don't have Jesus in their hearts. They don't. In Colossians 1:13. My arthritis is getting a little better on me, so bear with me. I can't get it going here. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered from the hands of Satan. That's what Jesus does for us. And God has called us his sons and daughters, and that he has invited us to be members of his kingdom in heaven. And he gives us his love every day. It's for us to really take that in and soak it in. We have a lot that we owe our God that many times we forget really how to really serve him. We forget that he loves us so much that he gave everything for you and I so that we can be with him in his kingdom. And we live daily for him. And we live so that we can be in that kingdom. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we do. I know I do. Sometimes I make mistakes and I have to be corrected by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that's going to work in our hearts through Jesus Christ so that we can get ready for that one day when Jesus comes to take us all home. And I'm looking for that day. And I want to see all of you. We kind of talked a little bit about that in Sabbath school. Who am I going to see in heaven and be surprised on someone else? Or maybe they're going to be surprised about us being there. And let's go a little further. In 1 Corinthians 6:11. Pardon me. Let's go back a little bit to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. It says here, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," I would like to read from Christ's Object Lessons, page 314. "Great is the shame and degradation through sin. Even greater will be the honor and exaltation through redeeming love." Redeeming love, our Savior. "To human beings striving for conformity to the divine image, there is imparted an outlay of heaven's treasure, an excellency of power that will place them higher than even the angels would never have fallen." Isn't that great? Something to be able to look forward and say that Jesus claims us higher than the angels. What a blessing, what a promise. "And who we are," or who I am, in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let's go to that one now. 1 Corinthians 6:11. It's going to be kind of walking through the Bible a little bit here. I love doing this. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Sanctified. We're sanctified when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Only through Him, through the Holy Spirit, are we sanctified by faith. By faith. Oh, it's wonderful. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ works on us on a daily basis so that we can be sanctified, so we can be holy in our own sphere. We cannot be as holy as Jesus Christ, but if we struggle and we work at it on a daily basis, we are in our own sphere. Among our friends, let them see Jesus in you, and they're going to want part of that. And in Luke 10:19, I'll let some of you find the place there. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you." Tread on serpents and scorpions. I've never been around scorpions or serpents. But I'm believing that this is what it's saying, that Jesus wants us to, like, how can I put that? Satan is a serpent. And he tempts us every day. And Jesus gives us a power to overcome all them temptations. And it's a daily basis that we have to depend on our Lord, isn't it? We all struggle with temptation. But if we come to our Lord and Savior, He will give us the power to overcome. Overcome the enemy. He works. He's tireless. Constantly, daily, nightly. Even in your dreams, He comes in there and He wants to change you. He wants to terrify you. He wants you to be on his side. But we have Jesus on our side. And we have that power that he gives us on a daily basis through prayer and our faith that we can overcome. And that's what it's all about. Our faith. Now let's go to Matthew 5. And it's 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then for us good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. We are a walking sermon. People see that. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light. We carry the torch for Jesus Christ. Let that light shine in our lives so other people may see it. We can't hide it. They see it. Your neighbors, even your enemies. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Any place that we come to visit somebody in their home, let that light shine. Let them see Christ in you. I keep saying that because that is what one thing that they see, Christ in you. Pray with them if you can. Some people don't like to be prayed with, but we can. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what it is. Glorifying our Father, our Heavenly Father. Every step that we take, everything that we do, let it be to the glory of God. Even if it bothers, it hurts sometimes to do something like that. Some people are ashamed to let them know that we are Christians. Aren't there some people like that? Even our own church, they're afraid to be good, I guess, Christians. They may live a Christian life. They may be members of a church. But if they don't have Christ in their hearts, it doesn't do them any good. We have many Seventh-day Adventists that are that way. We see the homeless out there. We pass by them. You know, people say, well, they can get a job. They can do this, they can do that. But they got to remember, they have no place to take a shower. You know, they're homeless. They are in need. And God said that we should take care of the homeless, the widows, the orphans. Huh? Do we bypass those people that are out there on the streets with a sign saying, need help? Do we? No, we don't. No, we don't, because we're Christians. Even if it's a dollar, that's all you have. That is going to help them. And if you give more, great, because God will bless you twice that. That he will. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I would like to read from Christ Object Lessons again, page 163. Ah, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one earlier. I'm going to 314. I kind of got mixed up a little bit here. But anyway, here we go. The truth is planted in the heart. It is to control. I got to change page here. To control the mind and regulate the affections. The whole character must be stamped with the divine utterances. Every jot and tittle of the word of God is to be brought into daily practice. He who becomes a partaker of the divine nature will be in harmony with God's great standard of righteousness, his holy law. This is a rule by which God measures the actions of men. This will be the test of character in the judgment. Character. Character is what we're going to be taking with us up to heaven. We have to have a good character. Has anyone ever said that person is of a good character about someone else? Have that ever said about you? I would think so. I would think so, that each one of you have a good character. A character that exemplifies Jesus. Let people know, you know, how you walk. Walk a straight line. Not a crooked line. You know, many of you know that I work with the youth at the prison. And one thing I really make sure that they understand is the Ten Commandments. Especially where the stealing comes in and homosexuality and all that. I make it very plain to them. We go to the Bible and I tell them God is very sincere about what he says there. He's very just in that. And I get some good reports back. And I like that. I like that because they tell me they're in church. I can't tell them they have to be Seventh-day Adventist because there's going to be good Christians in the Catholic, Presbyterian, and down the line, you know, Protestant. Some of them are going to make it before some of us. And that's a fact. Sister Ellen G. White says that in our church, maybe 10, 20% will make it from our Seventh-day Adventists. It's kind of rough, isn't it? Life is hard out there. Temptation is just out there. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Mercy. He shows us mercy when we come to him. We have to come to him and ask for that mercy. And he gives that abundantly. He forgives us. He died on that cross for you and I. Everyone in this world he died for. Everyone. The thief, the murderer, the prostitute, you name it, he died for them too. We may condemn them, but God does not condemn them if they come to him with a broken heart. He loves everybody. He gave everything for you and I. Everything was his son. Can you imagine dying on that cross and suffering all that shame that people hurled at him? Words, oh, I remember. That's terrible. I saw that in a dream. I was there reviling him, calling him every name that I could think of, and then I saw myself there saying all these words, and then I looked at Jesus, and he looked at me. I felt this awful things that I had said. I felt sorry. I begged for forgiveness in that dream, and that was real for me. I woke up in a sweat. God was telling me that I either change or be lost. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be lost. Nobody wants to be lost. When he died on that cross, he died for everybody. And I knew when he died for me, that was something. I was a horrible person. I won't go into it, but I was terrible. I did a lot of bad things. And we can overcome. In Ephesians 6:16, let's go back a little bit. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Faith in something. We have faith in our children. We have faith in our boss. We have faith in a lot of But we have to have more faith in Jesus Christ. Faith. If we take hold of that, we are conquerors. We will conquer the darts that Satan throws at us. We can overcome. Isaiah 61, verse 1. I love this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to do for us, and we have to do the same for Him, to help others. We have to take up the cross, we have to do what He did, and we have to teach the people. That's where we come in. We are His witnesses. Out there is a field for you and I to take the message to all the people. I go to the prisons. I love that. Now, we have our own people that we can talk to, neighbors, hand out some tracts, books. And I'm thankful that you all helped me very much with my Bibles. That's really great. I appreciate that. My kids appreciate that. I keep calling my kids. My wife told me, they're not your kids. They are my kids. They're not my sons and daughters, but they are my kids. That's what I call them. And I've had some good reports on that, because a gang member gave up the old life, got baptized, and another, his mother, I think I told you this, didn't I? Where I was buying some Bibles at the Bible bookstore, and I told the manager that I showed him my ID card, says I'm a lay pastor, and I take church to the prisoners at the youth prison. And she tapped me on the shoulder and says, "You're the one." I look, "I'm the one what?" "You're the one. It's what you said. My son was a terrible person before he went in. He did everything. He fought us. He did so many awful things. And when he came home, a changed person." And she was there buying him books for him. So that made me feel good. And my wife was there when she said that. So this is why I can say that. That makes me feel good. Even if I touch one person, it's worth it. And I love these kids. And you know, Mother's Day, I'm usually there. Christmas time, birthdays, I'm there because my wife supports me. And I know my kids sometimes say, "Gee, Dad, can't you be here just on this time? Make it for 1 o'clock, because I'm usually home by then." So we celebrate differently. Most people are all ready to go to lunch at 12 o'clock, right, for birthday parties or whatever, Mother's Day, take Mom out to dinner. I take her the following day, or, you know, kids have something planned for her. But this is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Being witnesses for our Savior. Doesn't matter who they are. They could be the worst criminal. They could be the worst person out there. Dirty, whatever. They are still God's children. He loves them all. And you can read about the Mary Magdalene soul. It's a good example there. And we cannot. In John 10:28. I love this. John 10:28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Eternal life with our Savior. Can you imagine living for a billion years up there with our Heavenly Father? I can't even begin to imagine living 10 days up there. To never perish. Never, ever perish. Never die. And if we are faithful, Satan cannot pluck us out from his hand. He can try, but we have to be faithful. What a promise. In John 3:16, we're all familiar with John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. We cannot be lost. We cannot be lost, I say that again, if we are faithful. If we believe in Jesus Christ, even there are many people out there that don't know Jesus by name, but they live through nature, like way back in our Native Americans, and many people in other countries, they live according to what nature has offered them. They don't abuse it, and they don't know too much about Jesus, but they will be there in heaven because they live God's second book, nature. So we have to take care of ourselves in many ways. And Psalm 16:8, we cannot be moved. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Oh, what? We cannot be moved. We cannot be moved. God is with us daily. He walks with us. He talks with us. You've heard that song. He walks with me and he talks with me. If we listen, we hear the voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit saying, keep on going. One more step. One more step. One more day. Because we never know. We never know. We're just one heartbeat or one breath away from sleeping in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:32. I'm jumping back and forth. I like this. The day is coming, brothers and sisters. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Living with the world. Living like the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. That's what it should be. We're here. God put us here. And we decide which way we're going to go. Many things I have to give up. And it's a struggle. Many things you have to give up. And it's a struggle. But if we work and work daily, we will overcome. And we will be judged righteous in the eyes of God. Right now, some of us, we are looked upon by other people as fanatics, as a cult, that we don't live the life that we should live. We are different. Yes, we are. We're different. We'll always be different because we have Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our minds. And it's a daily struggle. I keep saying that because it is. We all struggle daily for that perfect time when Jesus will call us home. And if we die and we have been in sin and we have repented even at that last moment, God knows what would have happened if we had died at a later day. The thief on the cross. He never had a chance, did he? He never had a chance when he was hanging on that cross. There he was. He couldn't come down. Couldn't talk to anybody. He couldn't walk with Jesus. He couldn't come down and be a good witness and say, hey, I know, I changed my life. But on that moment then, when he asked Jesus to remember him, oh, what a promise that he would be with Jesus in heaven. What a promise. So, in our dying times, this is what it's all about. When you go to bed at night, I know you pray, I know you do. That if you do not wake up, you have that blessed hope. That blessed hope that you will be with him when he comes to take his people home. And my prayer is that all of you, I would see you in heaven. I pray that. Our closing hymn is 529, Under His Wings. You ever wonder why I always step away from the mic? Huh?
Let's stand as we sing together.
My voice is terrible. It is.
Stand as we sing together.
Life tells me that I do improve a little. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters that are here, Lord. I ask that you bless them, Father, as they leave here, and that you would bless them so much, Lord, that they can be out there working for you, Lord. When they leave this property, they're going out into the missionary field, Lord. Bless their hard work, Father, and bless us here today that we may have a beautiful Sabbath, Lord. These things I ask in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
God be with you, tell me, I am.
stick around. We have our fellowship meal, and we got some good stuff out there today.